I apologize again about missing yesterday. There's so much that I wanted to do on Beria. I generally am trying not to spend more than 1 week on a sugya. So I don't know, we'll have to figure out how to get to all the good stuff today, I guess. All right, so we discussed that there are three halachos about Beria, but two of them are clear in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, and one of them is not. One halacha that's clear in the Gemara in Talmud Bavli, we have from our sugi, the Gemara Makos Daf Yud Zayin, that if a person eats macholos asuros, he eats something that's forbidden, and it is a beria, even if you eat less than a kazayas of it, one is chayiv. And that echoes itself in Maseches Chulin as well, when we speak about eating a gid anasha, that's a full beria, but it's less than a kazayas. Maseches Chulin also relates to the idea that when something is a beria, that when something is a complete unit, it can't become batel b'shishim. It doesn't. There's no bittel by a beria. And I think we started to discuss last time why that is, that certain things are too chashuv to become batel, and bittel means that the character of the item that's becoming batel is not recognizable. It's completely overwhelmed by the rove or by the shishim that are nullifying it. But if you have something that's so chashuv, it can never be overwhelmed, it can never be nullified. So that's the second din of beria. And as we pointed out, din number one of beria is a din d'oraisa. Din number two of beria, meaning the fact that if you eat a tiny bug that's less than a kazayis, you chayv malchus, that's a din d'oraisa. The fact that a bug will not be batel b'shishim, that's a din d'rabbanan. But then we have a potential third din of beria. The potential third din of beria is what the Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Yud quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Yud, source number 9, Umasha kaz Rabbeinu Birushalmi Mashma Shekol Davar Shu Kebriyaso Kugon Gagir Shalanav, that any time you have a beria would require a bracha achrona. It's a big chiddush that beria is not only a din in macholos asuros, in forbidden foods, and whether they can become batel and whether you get malchus for them. Beria is a din in any food. And any time you eat a whole beria, you've eaten something chashuv, and if you've eaten something chashuv, you need to make a bracha achrona. Where does he get this from? So he says, it's Yushalmi in Periketz on Mevarchin. Rabbi Yochanan Nosav Zayis, Ubirech Lefaneh Ula Achareha. Rabbi Yochanan ate an olive, and he made a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. Now, bracha rishona, how much do you have to eat to make a bracha rishona? Anything, kolshu, tiny amount. How much for a bracha achrona? Kezayis. Now, he ate an olive. Vav Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba mistakel bei. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba started giving him a look. Like, what on earth are you doing? Why are you making a bracha achrona when you ate an olive? Amar ma din bavlo mistakel. He says, well, what's the deal? Why are you looking at me like that? What did I do wrong? Leslie kol shumi min shiva ton bracha lefanav leachrav. Isle umat zvichlei mnei shagari nasim ma'atasa. So the Gemara says, well, do you not hold that if you have any of the Shiva Saminim, you have to make a bracha achrona, you know, a bracha main shalosh, that I should make an alamichya? He says, no, of course I hold that way. But you didn't eat a kazayis. What do you mean I didn't eat a kazayis? I actually ate an olive. How's eating an olive not a kazayis? No, if you eat an olive the way you normally eat an olive, you didn't eat a kazayis. Why? So it's not because of all the chumras we have in the shirim. You know, there's that kazayis book out there that tells you how many Twizzlers you need to eat in order for it to be a kazayis, and how many, I don't know, they have like everything that you could possibly imagine, how many is a kazayis. So if you actually look up olives in the olive book, in the kazayis book, how many olives do you have to eat to be a kazayis? So it's almost like a joke, because it says you have to eat three large olives in order for it to be a kazayis. But that's ridiculous, because kazayis means an olive, right? So doesn't that sound ridiculous? So he says, how could you say that I didn't eat a kazayis? I ate a zayis. What do you mean I didn't eat a kazayis? No, no. A kazayis is the full volume of an olive with the pit. Mistami, you didn't eat the pit. You only ate the fruit around the pit. You didn't eat the pit itself. So you didn't eat a kazayis. So ma avla Rabbi Yochanan mishum beria. So says Gemara, yeah. But you know why Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha achrona? Because it's true he didn't eat the pit, so he didn't actually eat a kazayis. But it's a beria. The zayis itself is a beria, and for that he has to make a bracha achrona. So based on that, the Yerushalmi would seem to imply, if you eat any fruit that's complete, that's in its entirety, it's a beria, and therefore you make a bracha achrona even if it's smaller than a kazayis. So a couple of things. First of all, how's that called a beria if you didn't eat the pit? Meaning it, the beria, kibriyaso, is with the pit. Second of all, any fruit, or is it only the Shiva Saminim? I mean, Yerushalmi mentioned Shiva Saminim, that you make a bracha achrona on such a thing. What about for a bar nefashos? Right? Would you say, right, for let's say a tiny apple, it doesn't exist, so it would have to be a very tiny apple. Still going to be more, right, it's still going to be more than gezeis. You'd have to have a very creative brachas book. Yeah, so it's still going to be more than gezeis. Right. So the Beis Yosef quotes from Tosfos that HaYushalmi Azeh Cholik Al Talmud Shalanim, that this is against the Talmud Bavli. This Yerushalmi is against the Talmud Bavli. And Ein Alach Yerushalmi. Why is it against the Talmud Bavli? Because we have a sugi in Makos, where the Gemara says, it's a chita beria. So Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, chita is a beria. Comes along the Rabbanan and they say, no! Chita is not a beria. Beria is neshama! It needs to have neshama to be called a beria. Plant life isn't a beria. So what do you see? Our Gemara holds that a fruit can't be a beria. It's got to be beria neshama. So the Bavli is against this Yerushalmi. Rabbeinu Yosef Mefarshenu Cholik. By the way, it's Bavli against Yerushalmi if you understand the Bavli like the Ran understands it. If you understand the Bavli the way Tosfos understood it, that it's anything the Torah calls, anytime the Torah calls something by a name, so it doesn't matter whether it has neshama or not. Remember Tosfos said that everyone was just kidding when they were saying neshama? It wasn't for real? So then the Bavli is not necessarily against the Yerushalmi. That as long as it meets the criteria of being called by the Torah. Wait, meets the criteria of being called by the Torah. So which fruits are actually called by the Torah? So the Shivas Aminim, Shinishavach Ben Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Chita, Te'ena, Gefet, right? It would have to be one of those in order for it to be a beria. Then quotes Rav Rabin Yosef Mefarish, She'enu Cholik, Da'achamari Shehusru Agarinim, V'nimlach, Im Kein Lo'ay Kibriyaso, Avalim Achlo Shalem, Afilu Im Haya, Afilu Preda Acha Shal Rimon, Mivarech Alev Tchil V'Sof. V'tam Yerushalmi Yosavar Shazayis Haya Shalem, V'lekach Hutzru Chutarik Bozoin Yindachal Preda Deberia, V'enam Chol Kimiyacha. He says maybe the difference is whether you eat it with the pit or without the pit. That if you eat it with the pit somehow you soak the pit and you make it edible, and you eat it with the pit, then it's called a beria. You eat it without the pit, then it's not called a beria. So the Beis Yosef goes on to discuss this, quotes all different sorts of Rishonim. Do we consider a fruit to be a beria or not? And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reishit, Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes, Ha'ochel pachos mikazayis, bein mipas, bein misharoch, limvashos pachos mirviyas, bein miayin, bein mishar mashkim, mivarech tchilas bracha ru'il osamin. When you eat less than the shear, you still make a bracha rishona, v'lach ravena mivarech klal, but you don't make any bracha achroni when you eat less than the shear. V'yesh mistapkim lomar, sha'al davarshu kibriyaso, but some aren't sure and think that maybe, that when you eat something that's kibriyaso, kigon, Gargir shall anavo shall rimon. You eat a full grape. Gargir shall rimon. Was that a pomegranate seed? Does that count as a berry? A single seed of a pomegranate? Was it gargir shall rimon? What? Yeah, it has to mean, right? That would be called a berry. Wow. Shemavarch in the acharav. They'd say a bracha achrona on it. Aval b'shein bo kazayis, even though it's not kazayis. Lekach nachol nizar shalo lechol berry apachs mikazayis. So you should be careful. Don't eat one grape. Eat five grapes. Don't get yourself into a suffix. Says the Rama, V'lo mikri beria ela im achlo kamo shehu. Avlam laka chagar mimena lo mikri beria. We hold that if you take the seed out of it, then it's not called a beria. But if you have seedless grapes, it's a beria. Good. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. We're not sure. It's a suffix. And therefore, we should try to avoid that suffix. Yeah?
Beria maybe is considered the way it's grown, right? Meaning that maybe you have to eat the pit in order to be considered beria. Can we make it a thing that, yeah, the way it's grown, but the way it's eaten is something different?
Yeah, so some Rishonim say like that if it's normally eaten without the pit, then it's a beria even without the pit. That's some of the Rishonim understand.
So in that case, if something is theoretically edible, right? And it's just eaten without it, for example. Let's say,
right, okay, meaning should it depend on the derech achila or on whether it's edible or not? Good point. Yeah, you could hear it both ways. Says the Taz, very critical Taz. Nearly, the yayin sarif, what's yayin sarif? It's burnt wine. Doesn't mean burnt wine, what? Right?
Whiskey.
Whiskey, schnapps. It's not really burnt wine. They don't take wine and burn it. It just burns. The alcohol that burns, Shebe Medina Seinu, Eino B'chal Zeh, is not included in this rule that if you drink less than a revius, you don't make a bracha achrona. De'bezeh i'efshar lishtos revius halug. You can't drink a revius of Yayin Saruf. Shu beitzo mechza. A revius is a beitzo mechza. I mean, you ever see people make kiddush on schnapps? What do they use usually? A shot glass. You can't use a big, tall kiddush cup, you know, that holds whatever, 5-6 ounces, and drink all that for kiddush. I know some people who can. Vim kein, azlilon basar shira shtia l'rov mnei adam. He says, I think when it comes to the shir of something like that, you can't say that revius is an objective standard for all drinks. You have to go with what Rov Bnei Adam would drink. Rov Bnei Adam would only drink a shot at a time. V'rayelazeh, midisav Rabbeinu Yonam via Beis Yosef, linin peria, t'yesh chilek, t'imu davrshe derech lo'ochlo imagarin, chashvinin imagarin kezayis. He says, it's just like the Beis Yosef says about a beria. That if it's something that you normally eat with the pit, then the pit counts as the, toward the, then we have to count the pit. So he says over here also it would follow derech ha'olam. What? You hear his raya. That when do we consider something to be a kezayis? So the kezayis means the volume of an olive with the pit. Let's say you eat the olive without the pit. Did you eat a beria? Well, if it's the derech to eat it without the pit, then you ate a beria. And if it's not the derech to eat it without the pit, you didn't eat a beria. So you see that everything depends on the derech of how to eat it. Not the strongest raya, no? What was the Beis Yosef talking about? What's called eating the full entity of an olive? An olive is definitely a beria. The question is, if you don't eat the pit, is that called that you ate the beria? But an olive is definitely a beria, and therefore it doesn't need to be a kezayis. Just being a beria makes it that it doesn't have to be a kezayis. A shot of whiskey is not a beria. By a shot of whiskey, what he's trying to suggest is that it should count like it's a revius. Well, why should it count like it's a revius? It's not a beria. I mean, it's a very strange raya he's saying. He's saying that since an olive without the pit, the derech achila of an olive is without the pit, and therefore when you eat the olive without the pit, it's ki'ilu you ate a beria, and therefore you're chayiv, it's just like eating a full kezayis. You have to make a bracha achrona. So too, a shot of whiskey. No, by the kezayis, when you ate it without the pit, you ate the whole beria. That's the point. That the whole thing counts as a beria. The whiskey is not a beria. So you can't just make up your own shiurim of Derech Bnei Adam. No? Yeah, I'm not sure whether this right is. Yeah. The olive is a beria, right? Well, it's not parallel for the simple reason that the whole issue by an olive is about it being a beria. It's not about whether it's a kezayis. And over here, by whiskey, there's definitely not a beria. It's all about it being a kezayis. He's referring to where he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Where does he quote the Rabbeinu Yonah? Where does the Beis Yosef quote Rabbeinu? Yeah. Yeah, let's take a look at that Rabbeinu Yonah. Maybe I missed something. V'arav Rabbeinu Yonah, at the end of source number 9, V'arav Rabbeinu Yonah kasav, Nirash ha-Talmud shalanu cholek imer Yerushalmi. Da'acha mashma, sha'afal pishachal beria b'fnei atzma, impachos mikazayis enu mevarich la'acharav. The Gemara in Bavli sounds like, even if you eat a full beria, but it's less than a kazayis, you don't make a bracha achrona. Ubirushalmi mashma shimu beria, and the Yerushalmi sounds like if it is a beria, afal pi she'ein bo kezayis mevarich la'acharav. Even though it's not a kezayis, you make a bracha achrona. Aval le'inyan adin efshar lahal mitamid shalanu ima Yerushalmi, but we can make them work together. V'nomar shimu davar she'ein derech la'achlo ima garin kigon zayis ucheyotzei bo. If it's something that you don't normally eat with the pit, like an olive. Sarach shiabo shir milvada garin, shekivin shein derech lachloim agarin nimsa shalom lavi beria. You always need it to be a kezayis outside of the pit, because the pit doesn't count because it's never going to be a beria. You're never going to eat the pit. Once you take the pit out, it's no longer a beria. So now you need a kezayis. So you need a kezayis without the pit. So that's what we have to say. By yezayis gadol askinan. That's why the Gemara has to say the only time you make a bracha achron an olive is if it's a very large olive, where the fruit of the olive actually equals a kezayis minus the pit. But if it's something that's normally eaten with the pit, like the garinim of Rimon or Anavia or Gudganios, im achalech meim alf bishein ba bein hakol kezayis, then in Lake Iberia. Yeah, I don't see what I'm missing over here. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if you take out the pit, you can't call it a beria anymore. And if you eat it without the pit, you can't call that you ate a beria. What did you eat? Well, if you ate a kezayis, you make a bracha achrona. So if it was such a large olive that the fruit of the olive, not counting the pit, is big enough to be the size of a normal olive with a pit, so then you make a bracha achrona. But if you do something that you do eat the pit, then that becomes a beria. And therefore you chayiv even if you pachas mikazayis. But that's about beria. The whole thing is about, why is that like you, why do you have to make a bracha achrona? Because it's a beria. But says the Taz, so uadin by schnapps, You drink a normal amount that people drink from schnapps, and you should make a bracha. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's maybe the
Taz
defining beria. He's defining beria as something, as an entity, could be anything.
That is a wild chiddush then. That's against all the Rishonim that we saw. Right, that's what it sounds like. You're right. That's what it sounds like. He's defining beria as whatever is normal to eat. Crazy.
It could be anything. It could be a kernel of corn. I mean, it could be theoretically.
Kernel of corn makes more sense than schnapps. That's like saying a cookie is a beria. Because a cookie we made, we put it together that way. Who determined that a shot glass of schnapps is the amount? I determined that by pointing that amount. A kernel of corn, God made. There's a big difference. And he says, I'll bring you another raya. The su raya, mirish perakamotzi yayin damrin sham yayin kidei mezigom, farshinan kidei rova revias. Shein tims again, u yamud al revias. That the amount of wine that would require bracha achrona is, it used to be they would mix their wine with either 2/3 or 3/4 water and 1/3 or 1/4 wine, right? So if you have the amount of wine that when diluted would equal the revius, then you had enough wine for a bracha achrona. So apparently, even though there's no revius right now, but it's roi limzog b'mayim ad revius. You have the amount of undiluted wine that could make a revius of diluted wine, so that's enough for it to be considered a revius over here. Also, yayin saruf. If you drink it the way people normally drink it, and you don't, and you have a normal way, so that's going to be considered like you drink the whole revius. Very, very difficult. Very difficult, no? He's saying, what's the second raya? The second raya is from yayin. Because yayin, the way people normally drink it, is not undiluted. They always put some water in. So the amount of wine that would normally be used as an ingredient in a dilution mixture that would equal a revius of a dilution mixture, that's ki'ilu, you drank a revius. But that's because you dilute wine. You don't dilute schnapps. So why would that necessarily mean that schnapps are revius?
That's not consistent either.
Why?
Because according to Taz, that's not consistent, because based on Taz's wild fetish, that it's the way it's drank. So it doesn't matter about the undiluted form. It only matters about the revius of the
right. That's it. Right. It seems like Stirumine Bay a little bit also. Yeah, I hear that. Rav Shechter uses this Taz in Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon on page Mem and Mem Aleph. Rav Shechter has a Yesod. The Shulchan Aruch says, what's the shear? What's the shear for bracha achrona? So for food it's a kezayis, for a drink it's a revius. How do you define what's called the food and what's called the drink? So it sounds like a stupid question, right?
Ice cream,
okay. How do you define a food or a drink? So naturally, you would assume liquid solid, right? A liquid is a drink and a solid is a food. So Rav Shechter argues that that's not correct. Do you eat soup or you drink soup? Either one, right? So he says, the chilek between ochel and mashkin, certainly with regard to Kabbalah's tumah, is not totally on whether it's a dover gush or dover nozal, whether it's something that's solid or something that's liquid. But rather, he says, it's whether it's a dover sha'omid l'shtia, or as he writes, beverage bila'az, or a dover sha'omid la'achila. Is it something that's supposed to be drunk or something that's supposed to be eaten? He says it's mefurish in Tosfos Masech Shabbos that chalav isha is a mashka, but it doesn't require hechsher. Meaning, the implication is that whatever is in the mouth of the baby is considered like an ochel and should require hechsher, because that's the ma'achel of a tinok. Meaning, the baby doesn't drink the mother's milk as a drink. The baby drinks the mother's milk as its entire nourishment. And therefore, mother's milk, legabe the baby, is considered to be a dvar achila. So even though it's a liquid, but the baby's not having it b'toras mashka, he's not having it as a beverage. So mele it has a din of an ochel. And Rav Elchanan writes this way in Kovet Shurim Maseches Beitza, where the Gemara says that Beitza uchla, lafuge mashka de lav uchla. A raw egg, the Gemara says, is food. It's not a drink. A raw egg is liquid, but it's food with regard to Kabbalah's Tumah. What's the difference between food and drink with regard to Kabbalah's Tumah? Food needs to be Huchshah l'Kabbalah Tumah before it can ever become Tameh. It needs to come in contact with one of the seven liquids before it can become Tameh. Drinks can become Tameh even without Hechshah l'Kabbalah Tumah in advance. So does a raw egg need hechshel kabel tumah before it can become tameh? The Gemara says, yes, it does. It needs hechshel kabel tumah, because even though it's liquid, it's a food, it's not a drink. Gemara, the Magen Avraham brings a raya from Gemara Numa, that Gemara Numa daf peyam bey says, Reish Lakish says, tzir shal gabe yarak, the juices on a vegetable are mitztarif to the achil of a koseves hagasa, the shear for eating on Yom Kippur. So Gemara says, pshita, of course it's mitztarif to the shear. No, mal detema mashkehu, you might have thought, yeah, let's say you have a liquid sauce or a juice that's, right, on the vegetable. So you might have thought that it's a mashke, and therefore it doesn't not mitztarif to the koseves, kamash malan. That kolach shuri uchla uchlahu. That's considered food. Aye, but it's a liquid. And Mishabura quotes the halacha in Simon Reish Yud in the name of the Chayyadam, that if a person eats bread with some liquid, so ochlin and mashkin are not mitztarif to the shear. But if it was the juices of the food itself, then it is mitztarif. What difference does it make whether it's juices that are external to the food or juices that are the juices of the food? The difference is, juices of the food are not a beverage. Juices of the food are the food. Juices that are external to the food are a beverage. So it's based on that, so maybe we could understand why it is that sometimes we find in the Rambam the shir shtia for mashkin is a revius, and sometimes he writes kezayis. Why does Rambam say? Because it depends on what the mashkin is. I mean, for example, dam. What's the shir for achilas dam? You know, it's nisr to eat blood. Blood is a liquid. What's the shear? How much dam do you have to eat in order to be chayiv? So the Rambam writes, ochel kezayis dam. You're chayiv. Kezayis? It should be revius dam that you're chayiv. What kezayis? Where does kezayis come in? Elamai. You have to assume, even though dam is not really a food, but it's not a beverage. So mela, that it's possible at least should be kezayis. Miri says, no, it means dam karush. It means if it's congealed blood. But Pashtus is not that way. Prima Gadim talks about borscht. He says you should make a bar pri adama just like maya di yarakos, vegetable juice. And he says on coffee you should make a shahakol. He says, why? What's the difference? So he says the borscht is considered to be not a beverage. The coffee is considered to be a beverage. So in the beverage, you'd make a shakal. In the food, you'd make whatever bracha you make on the food. Yeah?
All over the place. I had this question also. All over the place, when you refer to mashkin, right? So very often, zayis for me is very interchangeable. Meaning, Shulchan Aruch referred to if you drink a kezayis of yayin, it happens a lot.
Shulchan Aruch says kezayis of yayin?
I'm just a random case, not exactly, but I'm saying, but like, I don't know if that's exactly what I'm saying, but I've seen before that.
You have to show me. We'd have to look at each one. We'd have to look at each case.
I've asked someone before.
I don't know. It's totally different shear. Kezayis is much smaller than a ravias.
No, not interchangeable, meaning the exact same shear, but to say that a kezayis can apply to a drink, for example, meaning you take the volume, you drink the volume of the kezayis.
That's not a ravias. You're not chayvin bracha achrona. There's no chayv bracha achrona if you drink a kezayis. Now, the Rav Shechter points out, what bracha do you make on schnapps? A bracha? You've heard people make kiddush, even if I know no one wants to admit ever having drunk schnapps. But you've heard people make kiddush on schnapps, so the bracha shakal ne'abedvarim, right? That's what people make. So he says, l'chora, that's assuming that it's a drink, right? Assuming that it's a chamar medina, that it's a drink, so you make a shakal. But Rav Chaim Belashner, in the Sefer Shari Rachamim, says he doesn't understand. He says it's like making kiddush on soup. It's not a chamar medina, it's not a drink, it's a food. Meaning, he seems to be saying that both with regard to dinim d'oraisa, like disha and Shabbos, and the shir achila and Yom Kippur, and hechshel lekabel tuma, and with regard to birch sananin, dinim d'rabbanan, like birch sananin, the definition of what's called a food and what's called a drink is not whether it is a solid or a liquid. It's whether it's a beverage that's there to quench your thirst, or it's a food that's not there to quench your thirst. So he says, even in those places where they drink vodka all the time, it's not really drunk as a beverage. It wouldn't have a din of a mashke to say that it would have a din of a chamar medina, says Rav Chaim Belashner. Meaning, what he means to say is as follows, that in order for something to be chamar medina, what is the definition of chamar medina? If you don't have wine, you're allowed to make kiddush or havdalah and chamar medina. So what's chamar medina? The drink that's commonly drunk in that place, right? Some chashva drink that's commonly drunk in that place. But the very basis of the definition of chamar medina has to be that it's a drink. If it's not a drink, then it doesn't even get off the ground to be chamar medina, right? So Rav Chaim Belashner had a problem. He says, I don't understand why people are making kiddush and schnapps. It's not a drink. It may be very chashuv, people might have it a lot, but it's not a drink. It would have to be a drink first in order for it to be chamar medina. Now the bigger kasha that everyone had about the way people make kiddush and schnapps is that people have these tiny little shot glasses, which isn't even close to a ravias. The plastic shot glasses hold 1 ounce. Nobody's shita of a ravias is 1 ounce. How are people allowed to make kiddush something that's just 1 ounce? So the great Kazhuk Lover Gon, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, says, I have the way to solve this problem. Why do they have 1 ounce? Because they must hold that the shear is not a ravias. That since schnapps is not a drink, since schnapps is not a beverage, mele it has a din of an ochel, and the shear of an ochel is not a ravias, the shear of an ochel is kezayis. So the 1 ounce is a kezayis. Good, so they can make kiddush on it. The shear is whatever the shear chashav is. Normally for a drink it's a ravias, but when you're having something, it's not a beverage, and it's only kezayis. So Shechter points out that manavshach, if you're going to say then that it has a din of an ochel, and that's why you're allowed to have a kezayis, well then you can't be chamar medina, because chamar medina has got to be a drink. So if you want to call it a drink, you better have a lot more than a shot glass. And if you don't want to call it a drink, and that's why you can have just a shot glass, well then you can't have it at all, because it's not chamar medina. Yeah? Good question?
Why do we define the bits of Michael as a drink based on if it's not used as a drink? Why not focus on what's used as a food? I mean, it's almost as if we're saying, because it's not there to quench your thirst or not there as a drink, exactly. It must be a Michael instead.
Right, I mean, you say it's not used as food either. It's not there to fill you up. Shakti used to describe it. It's there to put you in a certain state of mind. That's what people use it for. How does that fit? Food, drink. I hear you. I hear the kasha. I don't know. To whet your appetite. So that's like a food. I hear. Okay. Good. Why would that be a food? Yeah, I hear. Now, Rav Shechter points out that if you say this, if you're going to take this chiddush, that yayin sarf, and by the way, it's all based on this taz, meaning they say, yeah, just like the taz says for bracha achrona, you could have a kazayis of yayin sarf, so too for kiddush. So Rav Shechter's point is, even if you buy into the taz's vart by bracha achrona, but that's because it's a food. It's because you're not considering it a drink, so you can't use that for Kiddush. By Kiddush, it can't be Chamar Medina. So Rav Shech said, based on this also, we could question a famous psak of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe in Yerdei Chelek Aleph Simen Kuv Zayin and Kuv Ches and Kuv Tes and Kuv Yud has several tshuvas in a row, all about blended whiskeys. Rav Moshe had a back and forth with Rabbi Teitz, Zichrona Levracha, where Rabbi Teitz was very unhappy about the fact that Jews would drink all sorts of blended whiskeys. So what's a blended whiskey? It's a whiskey, but they mix a little stam yenam in there. They either use sherry casks, or they'll actually put some actual sherry in it. And the shayla, whether the... So sherry is wine. Sherry is stam yenam. So the shayla, whether it's batel. So if you read the tshuvas, it's interesting. Rabbi Teitz said, this is terrible, it's aser. Rabbi Moshe said, no, it's not aser, it's really okay, maker adin. And Rabbi Teitz says, no, it's really aser, really aser. Rabbi Moshe says, I'm still not going to say it's aser, no matter how loud you scream it. I'm not going to say it's aser. He really wasn't convinced by Rabbi Teitz saying that it was aser. But they went back and forth. Rabbi Moshe said, look, you're a big tzaddik. You could be machmir all you want, and it's a wonderful tavol of bracha. There's no way that I'm going to say that it's aser. But one of the snifim lahakel that Rav Moshe has is that the halacha is that stam yenam that gets mixed with mayim or gets mixed with another drink is batel b'sheish b'diavad. B'sheish. Not shishim, you only need six if it's mixed with another drink. But l'chora, if it's blended into whiskey and you say that whiskey doesn't have a din of a drink, it should have a din of a mayichel. And when stam yenim gets mixed into a meichel, not a mashke, you need shishim to be mevatel. That's what the Shach writes in Yerideh, Simen Kuf Lamed Daled, Sivkan Chaval, in the name of the Yisuv Heter. Stam yenim gets mixed in with a tavshil, you need shishim. It's only b'mashkin that shish is good enough. So l'chora, if we're going to accept that yayin saruf is a meichel, not a mashke, then we have a problem. Then it shouldn't be batel b'sheish. That would be a major problem with Rav Moshe. Okay, so those are the three places where beria plays a role in halacha. There's one last thing. I mean, there were a bunch more things I wanted to do, but we'll pick and choose over here a little bit. Rav Soloveitchik has very fascinating insight into what makes a beria. What makes a beria considered like it's a full shear, even though it's pachas mikshir? If you look in Shirei Arab in the back of your packets, Geder Din Beria. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf, Beria Dainu Kigon Nemala O Ovtame V'Giv Anasha V'Ever Menachai Afilu Be'Elef Lo Betela Ve'Ein Lo Din Beria L'Mkeinu Davashay V'Chiyus. A beria is not batel even in 1,000. A beria has to be something that was once alive, V'Chein Tzorach She'e Davashay Osam Itchiyus Briyasa, like the Ran says. That's be something that was always aser. V'chein tzarech she'adam shalim she'michalek ein shmo alav. And that's be something that is complete, where if you were to break it, it wouldn't be called by the original title anymore. So this is that last requirement. What does that mean? If you were to break it or cut it, it would no longer be called by the original title. Meaning, if you cut a giranasha, it's not called a giranasha anymore. But if you cut a nevela, it's still called nevela. So Esther Soloveitchik, who says? Who says that a piece of a nevela is still called a nevela, but a piece of a Gira Anasha is not called a Gira Anasha? So says Rav Soloveitchik, the Taz writes over there in Siman Kuf, that Beria not being batal afilu be'elef is a rabbinic enhancement of the din d'oraisa that you're chayiv malchus when you eat a beria. That since Minat Torah, beria is chashuv enough that you can get malchus on it, even though it's Sasan Kazayis, the Rabbanan decided to come along and be machmir and say that it can't even be batel in the Taroves. What makes a beria more chamer than other Isurim? So it must be that a beria is fundamentally different. So says Rav Soloveitchik, what's fundamentally different about it? The Shar Isurim could go Nevelu Chadome Heim Isure Chomer. V'ilu beria hi Isur Tzura. This is a fundamental chiluk. Every other issur in the Torah, it's the substance that's asur. A beria, it's not the substance that's asur, it's the form that's asur. It's an issur tzura. By an issur chomer, something that the substance is asur, the shir tri chayiv malchus is a kazayus of that chomer. But by an issur that's an issur tzura, you need the tzura. And the tzura is only when it's complete. Says that's what the Rishonim mean when they say Gira Nash is considered a beria. Hol v'im yechalek ein shmo alav. Since if you were to cut it, it wouldn't be called the Gira Nash. What it means is that a gid, it's not the chomer of the gid that's aser, it's the tzura of the gid that's aser. And that's why if you eat a gid that's pachs mikzayis, you get malchus on it. So the Rabbanan are going to be machmir that afilu be'elef lo bata. But a nevela, shor niskal, where it's the nisr chomer, it's the substance of the item that's asur. Even if you cut it up into a million pieces, as long as you still have a gazayis, if you have a gazayis of that chomer, memela, it's going to be asur. Now the shaila is how this relates to a bracha achrona. So in the footnote, he points out that Rav Soloveitchik understands the whole suffix by bracha achrona only relating to the shivas aminim. Because if you say that what makes beria unique is the tzura, so it's dafka the shivas aminim that are neshtavach ben Eretz Yisrael. Because only the tzura of those things makes a difference. But any other fruit is not considered a beria. So we'll stop there. You got to take a look at see if that fits with all the mar makomos about what we consider a beria or not. Okay. Maybe next week we'll start a new subject.